people talked among themselves, Daksha saw dangerous omens from all sides, from the earth and from the sky. For our part, in this verse, Daksha has been described as Mahatma. The word Mahatma has been commented upon by different commentators in various manners. Vira Raghavacharya has indicated that this word Mahatma means steady in heart. That is to say that Daksha was so strong-hearted that even when his beloved daughter was prepared to lay down her life, he was steady and unshaken. But in spite of his being so strong-hearted, he was perturbed when he saw the various disturbances created by the gigantic black demon. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that even if one is called Mahatma, a great soul, unless he exhibits the symptoms of a Mahatma, he should be considered a Duratma, or a degraded soul. In Bhagavad Gita, the word Mahatma describes the pure devotee of the Lord. Mahatmanas tu mam parta daivam prakritam asrita. The Mahatma is always under the guidance of the internal energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how could such a misbehaved person as Daksha be a Mahatma? The Mahatma is supposed to have all the good qualities of demigods, and as Daksha lacking those qualities could not be called a Mahatma. He should instead be called a Duratma, a degraded soul. The word Mahatma to describe the qualification of Daksha is used sarcastically. My dear Vidura, all the followers of Lord Shiva surrounded the arena of sacrifice. They were of short stature and were equipped with various kinds of weapons. Their bodies appeared to be like those of sharks, blackish and yellowish. They ran all around the sacrificial arena and thus began to create disturbances. Some of the soldiers pulled down the pillars which were supporting the handles of sacrifice. Some of them entered the female quarters. Some began destroying the sacrificial arena, and some entered the kitchen and residential quarters. They broke all the pots made for use in the sacrifice, and some of them began to extinguish the sacrificial fire. Some tore down the boundary line of the sacrificial arena, and some passed urine on the arena. Some blocked the way of the fleeing sages. Some threatened the women assembled there, and some arrested the demigods who were fleeing the pandal. Maniman, one of the followers of Lord Shiva, arrested Bhrigu Muni, and Virabhadra, the black demon, arrested Prajapati Daksha. Another follower, whose name was Chandesha, arrested Pusha. Nandishwara arrested the demigod Bhaga. There was a continuous shower of stones, and all the priests and other members assembled at the sacrifice were put into immense misery. For fear of their lives, they dispersed in different directions. Virabhadra tore off the mustache of Bhrigu, who was offering the sacrificial oblations with his hands in the fire. Virabhadra immediately caught Bhaga, who had been moving his eyebrows during Bhrigu's cursing of Lord Shiva. And out of great anger, thrust him in the ground, to the ground, and forcibly put out his eyes. Just as Baladev knocked out the teeth of Dantavakra, the king of Kalinga, during the gambling match at the marriage ceremony of Aniruddha, Virabhadra knocked out the teeth of both Daksha, who had shown them while cursing Lord Shiva, and Pusha, who by smiling sympathetically had also shown his teeth. Report here of references made to the marriage of Aniruddha, the grandson of Lord Krishna. He kidnapped the daughter of Dantavakra, and thereby he was arrested. Just as he was to be punished for the kidnapping, the soldiers from Dwarka arrived, headed by Balaram, and a fight ensued among the Kshatriyas. This sort of fight was very common, especially during marriage ceremonies, when everyone was in a challenging spirit. In that challenging spirit, a fight was sure to occur, and in such fights there were commonly killing and misfortune. After finishing such fighting, the parties would come to a compromise, and everything would be settled. This Daksha Yagya was similar to such events. Now all of them, Daksha and the demigods, Bhaga and Pusha and Bhrigu Muni, were punished by the soldiers of Lord Shiva, but later everything would come to a peaceful end. So this spirit of fighting between one another was not exactly inimical. Because everyone is so powerful and wanted to show his strength by Vedic mantra, mystic power, all these fighting skills are very elaborate, exhibited by different parties of Daksha Yagya. Then Virabhadra, the giant-like personality, sat on the chest of Daksha and tried to separate his head from his body with sharp weapons, but was unsuccessful. He tried to cut the head of Daksha with hymns as well as weapons, but still it was hard to cut even the surface of the skin of Daksha's head. Thus Virabhadra was exceedingly bewildered. Then Virabhadra saw the wooden device in the sacrificial arena by which the animals were being killed. He took the opportunity of this facility to behead Daksha. Purport: in this connection, it should be noted the device used for killing animals in the sacrifice was not designed to facilitate eating their flesh. The killing was specifically intended to give new life to this sacrificed animals by the power of Vedic mantra. Animals were sacrificed to test the strength of Vedic mantras. Yagas performed as a test of the mantras. Even in the modern age, tests are executed on animal bodies in the physiology laboratory. Similarly, whether or not the Brahmins were uttering the Vedic hymns correctly was tested by the sacrifice in the arena. On the whole, the animals thus sacrificed were not at all the losers. Some old animals would be sacrificed in exchange for their old bodies. They received other new bodies. That was a test of Vedic mantras. Virabhadra, instead of sacrificing animals with the wooden device, immediately beheaded Daksha to the astonishment of everyone. Upon seeing the action of Virabhadra, the party of Lord Shiva was pleased and cried out joyfully. And all the Bhutas, ghosts, and demons that come made a tumultuous sound. On the other hand, the Brahmanas in charge of the sacrifice cried out in grief at the death of Daksha. Virabhadra then took the head and, with great anger, threw it into the southern side of the sacrificial fire, offering it as an oblation. In this way, the followers of Lord Shiva devastated all the arrangements for sacrifice. After setting fire to the whole arena, they departed with their master's abode, Kailash. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Purport, the 4th canto, 5th chapter, Sri Ramabhanga, the commentary of frustration of the sacrifice of Daksha. As I pursued the daughter of Daksha along with the other women, the assembly became very anxious and said this danger has been created by Daksha because of the death of Sati, who, even though completely innocent, quit her body as her sisters looked on. So this is simply a description of the destruction that the followers of Shiva created in the sacrifice of Daksha. And because various persons along with Daksha had cooperated with insulting Lord Shiva, they all got punished by the followers of Lord Shiva. Of course, the main person was Daksha. So his head was cut off, and others of Bhrigu, his mustache was cut off, Kusha's teeth were knocked out, etc. So in this way, because of their agreement to insult Shiva, they received some sort of punishment. So this, of course, was the will of Lord Shiva. He became so angry that he said to do this. So they were simply following the orders of Shiva. So it is remarked here that Shiva actually has, this was of course Daksha's wife, recognizing the fault of Daksha. And she also described the great power of Lord Shiva. She understood the nature of Lord Shiva. So she understood that Shiva is in charge of destruction and he can destroy the whole universe. But, of course, the universe is destroyed only at certain times. At the end of the life of Brahma, you'll find that the universe is destroyed. So, that type of power Lord Shiva exhibits only at a certain time. He doesn't whimsically destroy the universe whenever he wants to. So, that is a set type of activity that he does. Nevertheless, it shows that he is capable of causing great destruction because he destroys the whole universe, just as Brahma can create the universe. So that shows his extraordinary power. So to destroy a sacrifice is nothing for Lord Shiva, since he can destroy the whole universe. If he destroys one sacrifice, that also is nothing. So therefore Prasuti was saying that actually you cannot counteract Shiva. We should not have insulted him because his power is such that he can do anything. He can destroy the whole universe. So therefore it is actually hopeless to fight against Lord Shiva. So we see many stories in which Lord Shiva's great powers are exhibited. At the same time, we will see that the powers of Lord Shiva are less than those of Vishnu. So we have, sometimes in these stories, we have the two weapons, the Shiva weapon and the Vishnu weapon. And they combat each other, and the Shiva weapon loses to the Vishnu weapon. So the Shiva Jwara and the Vishnu Jwara. Though Shiva is strong, ultimately, Vishnu is even stronger. So whatever power Lord Shiva has, Vishnu also has that power, but he has more power. So people will worship Lord Shiva because they see he can destroy the whole universe. They understand he has great power. That is true. But, of course, that power is under the will of Vishnu. And Vishnu is in charge of creation and destruction. And he does that through Brahma and Shiva. And it's only by his will that they carry out this function. So therefore, ultimately, Vishnu is greater. Generally, we don't celebrate the destructive powers of Vishnu, though he does have that power. We don't celebrate him destroying the universes and whatever. That's a tamasic event. So Shiva is celebrated and well known for that destruction. But ultimately, it is all under the Supreme Lord. So that is graphically illustrated in the universal form that Krishna displayed to Arjuna in the battle of Kurukshetra. So not only did Krishna show that all planets and plants, animals and people, demigods were within the body of the Lord, but he also began to show how the Lord destroys everything. And therefore, the universal form opened his mouth and all the soldiers and the Kurukshetra were going in his mouth and he was chewing them up and eating them and swallowing them. Krishna showed Arjuna he's also the destroyer. He acts as a destroyer also. And of course, in the 10th chapter it says, I am time the destroyer. So the Supreme Lord also is ultimately the destroyer of everything. So here, Shiva does some destruction also through his agents. So Shiva himself doesn't always have to act. He can do it through his servants. So we find here that Shiva simply pulled out a piece of hair. That turned into Virabhadra. And then Virabhadra and these others, they went to the sacrifice and caused the destruction. So Shiva actually has more power than all the devatas. So devatas are on one level in the universe, and Prajapatis, etc. And then above them we'll have Shiva and Brahma. They're more powerful. So we see that the devatas often go to Brahma when they're in trouble. When they cannot solve the problems, they go to Brahma because Brahma has more power. They may go to Shiva even because he has power. Brahma and Shiva are more powerful than these other devatas. Prasuti describes how Lord Shiva, with his trident, he pierces the rulers of the directions, that is the Lokapalas, or the Dikpalas. Actually, it's just the Dikajendras, which are the elephants of the directions. So in the different corners of the universe, there's elephants holding up the Bhumandala. So at the time of destruction, everything gets destroyed. So he destroys the universe by killing the elephants, so the earth will topple over. So all the elephants and the all the planetary rulers, everything, are destroyed very easily by Lord Shiva. So like Brahma, he lasts for the whole universe. The devatas don't last for the whole universe. We'll see that the devatas are appearing 14 times in one day of Brahma. So they're quite insignificant in one sense. And then we have the Prajapatis. So they are born also every day of Brahma. They come after Lord Brahma wakes up every day, then he starts expanding and creating the Prajapatis, etc., and they populate the earth, etc. So they also are not as long-lived as Brahma. Of course, Brahma also disappears at the end of his life. He also gives up his body. That is not the case of Shiva, because the character of Shiva is his body is eternal, because he is not different from Vishnu. So he's not a jiva like Brahma usually is. So he doesn't have a material body at all. Well, therefore, he doesn't die. So therefore, he's in a higher position than Brahma. Even though he's the destroyer and Brahma is the creator, he's in a higher position. Therefore, he is worthy of worship more than the devatas. The devatas should give him proper respect. Here we see they don't. The sages and the Prajapatis and some of these devas, they are not giving proper respect to Lord Shiva. So they made a big mistake. This type of bewilderment is due to the gunas. If one becomes proud, then he will forget proper knowledge, and this can cause great problems, as we see here. It results in insults and anger and destruction. Well, in the material world, she is another form of Durga, Durga Devi. But then, why would the young gopis worship Katyayani and the Katyayani Vrata and get their wishes fulfilled? Technically, she could not do that. So it's explained that actually, spiritually speaking, in the spiritual world, we also have devatas. So there is Shiva and Brahma and Indra and the Dikpals around Vaikuntha, etc. But of course there they don't have material bodies anymore, they're spiritual. So, and they don't function for material world because there's no material world there, so they don't create and destroy the material world. But they have roles to play in the Leela of the Supreme Lord. Even in the spiritual world, we can have Durga and her expansions who function for pastimes of the Supreme Lord. That's one thing. But of course, we understand that there, they have spiritual functions and spiritual powers, not material powers. But still, they don't have independent ability to grant anything separate from the Lord. They cooperate with the Lord. So we have Shaktis of the Lord in the spiritual world, like Yoga Maya. So represented by Purnamasi in Vrindavan Leela. So she makes arrangements for Krishna's pastimes through Yoga Maya potency. So this we can say is like the Durga in the spiritual world, but it's not Maya, it's Yoga Maya, it's spiritual potency. So similarly, Katyayani we can say is like the Shakti of the Lord that helps facilitate the Lord's pastimes in the spiritual world.
Sometimes atheists ask questions. Someone worship demigods like Saraswati. Students worship Saraswati to get good marks in the school. What about those students who don't worship Saraswati? Must they get good marks? Otherwise, completely. How is it? Does it mean they only worship and if not study yet?
Well, of course, worship is prescribed in the scriptures. One should worship. This is, of course, part of karma. Come to worship the devatas and you will prosper. What Krishna says in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So on one level, yes, everyone should do worship and understand that they're not independent. Some people may not worship and may get good results also. We see that around the world. So many people are got money and they don't worship anything. So by their good karma in past lifetimes, they can get something, and by their efforts, they can get something. But that will be short-lived. So what the Vedas are proposing is that if you want long-lasting prosperity, birth after birth, then you are obliged to do this type of worship. You can't independently do everything. So one lifetime you may on your own get some good position by hard work and your karmas, but if you don't follow the rules and do sinful activity, then next lifetime you have to suffer. So temporarily you can get something, but not long term. So you may get, even in this lifetime, you may get temporary results of lots of money, but you may end up completely unhappy the rest of your life also. So what is the use?
निरंतरा श्री श्री श्रीमद भागवतम की जय।
जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय। जय।